Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 12 of New Game Plus.
Getting up
there. Where we will be talking about a new old game that we have played for the last 7 days.
Called Sunset Riders.
Yeah, Sunset Riders. Here in the States, it's the week of Thanksgiving. So I thought how great it would be for us to go around the table and say what we are thankful for.
Great.
I'm thankful for a microphone that's working well.
Right. Which is yours, and clearly right. Not mine.
Yeah, Dustin's having some technical issues this week, so if our viewers will have some grace for us, that'd be great. But you're sounding great.
Thank you. Nolan, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for my wife.
Aww. Well, I mean, now I'm obligated, right?
Yeah.
I'm thankful
Kenny's
for my wife.
Blew Kenny's out of the water.
It's fair.
Goodness, I'm thankful for my family that I get to spend time with. And that's in part why I'm working on a rough setup today, because I am not at my home and I'm at my parents' house. Which did allow me to play the game this week with my brother. So
lucky.
That was fun.
Oh, that's a lot of fun. I bet he had a good time with it. Did you guys actually do multiplayer?
Did. We played multiplayer. We were able to, the setup for us to be able to play multiplayer on separate computers, took more time than us actually beating the game. So that's a fun, little tidbit for you.
That's great.
Like I had to go into the router and open up ports and do all this technical stuff. I felt like a computer genius. But once it got working and we were even able to do save states on separate laptops.
So fun.
It was a lot of fun.
That's great.
I mean, we might as well, right? Let's talk about Sunset Riders.
Sure.
Absolutely. Jump straight in.
Overview. So Sunset Riders is an arcade game. So we've got another arcade game this week. Made by Konami in 19...
Which is always a good sign.
Yes.
I've sure 1900... gotten to where when I see a Konami game, I'm just like, this will be good.
Yeah, and you hear the little chime when the logo comes up. Yeah, it's so nice.
1900s?
So, yeah, the 1900s. No, it was made in 1991. So this arcade game seems like it was made a little later than some of the other ones to me. Maybe I'm just uninformed, but came out in 1991. Sunset Riders is a Western-themed game. It's actually a side-scroller, which wasn't straight. It wasn't like blatantly apparent to me that it was a side-scroller, because there's a lot going on. But we'll get into that. It's a side-scrolling game. It's a shooter, so it's up to four playable characters. Their names are. Do you guys know them?
Yeah, Steve. Billy,
Steve is
Bob, and.
Corano, the best character. So it's up to four playable characters, I think.
How did I know Nolan was going to play as Cormano?
You didn't know that.
I knew that so hard.
You did not know that I was playing Cormano.
I knew it in my heart.
He's seriously the best. All right, so the point of the game is you shoot your way through towns, trains, mountains, what else is there? Like horse. You're even on horseback at times. Saloons. You shoot your way through baddies to kill wanted criminals for cash. So it's very generic, very traditional in a Western sense.
It's basically Contra meets Red Dead Redemption.
Okay. I'll go with that.
To think about it.
That's
right.
That's okay, Kenny.
Yeah, but see,
I think it stands.
You have an opportunity at the beginning of the game to select one of the four bounty hunters, and then you're given bounties. That's kind of like that's the whole story setup, that at the beginning of each stage, a screen comes up with a parchment that has a picture of the bad guy on it, of the villain on it, the reward, and maybe what his name is or where he can be found. And then you go through his stage.
Of course, it's wanted dead or alive. But for video game's sake, it just means one is dead.
Right.
No? No.
What?
How far did y'all get?
I beat the game.
Okay. Well, you don't kill at least two, because on one of them, his sister runs out and says,
oh, that's true.
And then the other guy runs off the train. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can't cap, you don't have the option to capture some of them, you right. have to kill some of them.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, it's real, there's really unique stages. Every stage is different than the previous stage. You've got unique bosses. All of them, you know, have their own kind of unique mechanic and unique graphic as well. And then there's different music for each of the stages too. So it's a very different game than many other games. I would say it's like just in general, it's a very, very unique game.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it felt very much like an arcade game, which was great. Because when I'm playing awesome. An arcade game, I want to have that feeling, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to feel like I'm standing in front of a giant cabinet.
Right.
You know, and optionally playing with my friends and just having a blast.
Last week, whenever it was announced that's what we would be playing, I was like, what is that? I don't know what that is. Immediately when I saw the opening, cutscene, I was like, oh yeah, I played this game growing up. Like,
so you
I
always, did play it like on arcade.
I played it on an arcade in a pizza place, and it was amazing. I loved this game. And so I just didn't recognize the name.
Kenny, had you ever played it in an arcade?
I hadn't, no.
Okay, and I had definitely, and each of the switches that you can get to, that's probably not what they're called, but they are the characters, and so depending on where you're standing, you know, next to your friends, that's the character that you're playing,
right? Yeah.
And each character has a specific color, you know, so
well,
like
and not just a specific color, but kind of different guns as well,
weapons, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the way they shoot is even a little different, which is super cool. Like, so there's actually some choice.
Some strategy.
There. Reminds me of playing like the Ninja Turtles games, which was always the same way. You know, you pick your favorite one, and if you don't get the turtle you like, you get bummed and you punch your friend. And, you know.
No, that's a good comparison. Was this game, okay, so it was arcade, but was it ever ported or was it made for any consoles?
Yep, it was ported. We've got another Genesis and Super Nintendo split, where I was curious, so I looked it up. The Genesis version is different. The SNES version, for the most part, is the exact same as the arcade.
Okay.
But the Genesis port is different levels and different kind of mechanics. So I actually played the arcade version this week. I don't know about you guys.
The SNES version.
Okay. Which is pretty much the same, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it looks a little worse. The arcade version looks really nice.
Did it?
The cutscenes I think are more impressive on the arcade because the SNES probably couldn't handle. It looks like an anime. Sure. Like it's a really good. Like the cutscenes really good.
Yeah, the game is made for arcade, and I'm not just saying that's what it was made for, but like I think that's the system it would thrive on.
Oh, it
you
lends
know?
Itself to it so perfectly.
Yeah.
And I'm jealous that you got to play multiplayer because it would be such a fun multiplayer game.
And it's pretty hard by yourself.
Now that I've been able to set it up, any one of you are invited to my house whenever you want to and we can play it together.
Yes, I'll take you up on that.
Someday.
Gameplay.
All right, so you pick one of the bounty hunters. You pick one of the bounty hunters. There's up to four, and we've already named them. And Kenny, you started talking about how they have kind of different guns.
Mm-hmm. Names one and guns and outfits and personalities.
Yeah, and colors.
And colors, which was the most important part. You always pick based on color. I mean, like, your favorite colors of outfit. That sounded poor.
One of them has just a single shot pistol. That's right. The blue one.
Steve, I believe.
the green has a shotgun.
Uh-huh.
Cormano.
No,
Cormano
has what he's talking about.
Purple. What does he have?
Cormano's
he has
the shotgun. Dish, and it's also a shotgun.
Okay.
That's why I picked him.
And then your yellow guy, he has pistols too, but they're kind of like a wider spread, yeah?
Yeah, I think the first guy like shoots a little faster, but a little less spread on a pistol. Mm. Or I had that sense. And then the second guy has a little more spread, but it's still pistols. And then the last two are variations of shotguns. They might even be exactly the same. I couldn't tell the difference. Graphically, they're a little different.
And you've got bullet upgrades. So when you get these little Western Star pins,
sheriff
they're
badges.
Either silver. Sheriff badges. They're either silver or gold, they upgrade your bullets. And so you've got your standard bullet, which is, you know, you just mashing the shoot button as much as possible to shoot off, you know, single waves of bullets. And then you upgrade that to a wider spread usually, or faster bullets that you're still smashing your button. And then your final upgrade, your bullets change from whatever color they all are, blue or green typically, to purple. And it's like an automatic, and it's a huge spread.
Yeah, that's probably one of the best ones, I think. And then as far as movement goes, you have like 8 different angles that you can move your character forwards and backwards. And you have a jump and a shoot button.
I like that Nolan just argued that the best one is probably one of the best ones.
The best one is probably that final upgrade.
Oh,
like, it's
sorry.
Not like this choice.
No, that's true. That's true.
It was just funny to me.
What did you guys think about the level design? Because for me, each of them were fun and unique and challenging.
I thought the level design was great because each one was so unique. My favorite one is the train stage where you are on top of the train. You know, it's a really short stage, but I just like that one because there's enemies that come up on horseback and there's some that come out of the window. So that one's pretty cool.
I definitely like the variety of it the most, I think. Even though there were one or two sort of level types that were a little bit repetitious, even those were different in like their art or their setting.
Yeah.
And
they could have just gone the route where they just do the same like saloon or in front of saloons, because you've seen games do that. But they actually went there with like the trains and the horseback.
So and like, cool. There's the one level that just happens inside the saloon. Like, it basically skips all the prelude and is just the bar fight.
Yeah.
Kind of the whole level is a boss fight. That was cool.
There's
you
a couple
get to ride
times
a horse, you know? Yeah, which changes your mechanic. Though I have to say, that stupid horse level, the first time I got there, I almost quit playing the game. The first, like, 30
branch
seconds
after branch.
Of that were just so frustrating. Like,
right.
I couldn't see the bullets as well. And mechanics were different. I felt like I was finally getting a handle on the game. And then, like, you have to, like, preempt those branches before you can even really see them. You have to, like, know what that animation means. And so the learning curve on that one was a little frustrating. And I died, like, a million times and almost threw my computer out. But,
Maybe we should talk about the difficulty, because it is pretty hard.
Yeah.
But not unbearably so.
No. I mean, I beat it, but not without frustration and a lot of
time. It's tough. I think it is
a tough game.
When my brother and I played the first time, it was very difficult, and we died probably on average 10,000 times. And then I played it a second time through after we beat it, and I played it by myself, and it was a lot easier. And right? Like, I mean, games are easier the second time you play them through. But what I realized is the difficulty in the first playthrough wasn't as much. You know, this game is exceedingly hard as it was just me having to relearn the mechanics and, you know, how to dodge bullets and how to control a horse and how to, you know, aim and how to, you know, dash under and those kinds of things. But once I relearned kind of how to play the game, it was much easier. It's still challenging, but it was much easier than kind of that first playthrough where I was just dying all the time.
Yeah, so do you think it was easier playing with your brother or playing by yourself?
I thought it was a lot easier playing by myself.
Okay.
Which wasn't as fun.
Flying everywhere, the odds of somebody getting hit are higher, so that doesn't surprise me.
Right. And I'm not sure, you know, how if the enemies or bullets change depending on how many players are in there.
Sure.
But I know that it was a lot more distracting, you know, because when it's just you, you can keep an eye on the bullets that are coming at you and kind of plan and prepare. But when it's two of you, that's another person to just worry about and to be concerned with.
Sure. And that's the hard part, right?
Everything else,
having to keep track of the bullets that are coming towards you, because you have to balance shooting them but dodging, and like the dodging is really hard.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's just waves of bullets.
The way the mechanics work on this game, it's like inverted Hollywood. You know, this isn't 24. Like, if you get hit once, you're dead, and you have to shoot a million times to hit, you know, all the people that you're shooting for.
Yeah.
Which I love. I love that it's a one bullet kill, like real life.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. For you. I mean, for everybody else, like, you no, get on a boss and you have to shoot him 78,000 right. times.
For bosses, but for your standard enemy, those are one shots too.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah, it's like quick draw, you know, it's like,
which feels way more realistic. Yeah. Sure.
And so, but just like any arcade game, you, every time you die, you just lose a life, and your life, is represented by a little, image or icon, and those go away. And then once you've lost all of those, you can press start and use a continue, but you've got a limited supply of both of those, which you can increase both of those in your options menu. Did you take advantage of that?
No.
Really?
Yeah. I did. I knew if the game was hard enough, I was going to end up doing save states anyways. And, which I tried to not use a lot of, but a little bit. And so I felt like, I mean, you're already basically cheating. If I was being a purist, I'd have, just been a purist from the beginning. It just saved me some effort and not resetting things more often.
What are you saying is in the settings?
You can just up the number of continues you have.
Oh. Okay.
So instead of 3 lives, you can get 4, and instead of 3 continues, you can get 4.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And it's not like a huge amount. It's literally one more. But again, in this case, it was just a time saver.
I'll tell you my experience. So I did the first stage, and I did really well. I only died once. And I was like, you know what? I'm actually doing really well. This isn't that bad. And so I go into the second stage on horseback and get destroyed. That stage. I spent hours on that stage, and then the rest of the game. It's hard. Like, it got increasingly difficult just on that second stage.
For me, I agree. It got harder. For me, it was pick up the game. I literally played through the whole first stage and didn't die a single time the first time through. And I felt like a boss. And I got to the boss fight and couldn't beat it. And it was
it's pretty
frustrating. And so then I tried that again. And I tried it like 3 or 4 more times before I was like, it's impossible to dodge these bullets. I hadn't known about the slide mechanic.
Oh, the slide mechanic is awesome.
Super huge on boss fights. Like, that's one of the primary ways of dodging bullets. Mm-hmm. And so I got really frustrated, went back, played with that, and was like, this game's even more brilliant than I thought it was. Beat the boss and then, and then got to level 2 and hated the world and had to kind of sludge through.
The boss fights are no joke. They're probably the hardest part, I think.
They are. The nice thing is, unlike a lot of boss fights, they actually get easier the longer it goes. If you can survive that early part and kill a lot of the boss's little homie minion things, eventually you get down to where you're just fighting against the boss. In most cases, some boss fights.
I will say it's pretty hard to, it was hard for me to pick up on the boss pattern.
Sure.
You can usually, tell in a game what the boss is going to do next depending on a sound cue or, like, just a visual cue, but it seemed really random. It was hard for me to pick up on it.
And it was nice. Random. My brother and I were able to figure that out, especially when we were fighting the armored guy on a horse, villain. His pattern is different. So we had a save state at the very beginning of the battle, and we'd have to do something different each time to try to avoid his first onslaught of bullets. And because his actions, even at that save state, are somewhat random afterwards, which that makes it more difficult, but that also makes it awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then multiple playthroughs aren't going to be like, I've been here, I can do this.
Right. It always feels like a challenge. But again, a realistic challenge. Once you have the mechanics, it didn't feel ever impossible to me, just difficult, which was nice. When I feel like a game is just making me suffer, like for no point, it's really frustrating. But this one was difficult enough, but then also was really rewarding as well. You didn't tell me who you played. Who did you and your brother play as character-wise?
I don't know their names as well as you guys do. I played the green guy.
I played mostly the green guy.
And my brother played Cormano. I believe that's how we first played it through.
Best character.
Nice.
And then, I tried different ones on subsequent playthroughs, but.
Sure.
I do love Cormano. And, I was able to find that there's an Easter egg, in any of the other ones, but Cormano, when you beat a certain boss who wears a sombrero,
it was the train stage. This is partly why that's my favorite stage.
Cormano retrieves that hat after the battle and puts it on and wears it for the rest of the game.
It's so awesome. He throws his hat and Cormano catches it, puts it on.
Like, upgrade.
How incredible.
I didn't know that was going to happen. That was so nice.
Let's move on to talk about how it aged.
Aged.
Super well, in my view.
Yeah. I agree.
Like, it's still an arcade game, but for that kind of I want to play an arcade game kind of game, I could pick this one up and play it anytime.
Easy, one yeah.
And see, not in my opinion, it wasn't just the, you know, the gameplay elements that make it still replayable, but like the graphics are still beautiful.
Oh, really impressive.
Absolutely.
Like I said, those cutscenes were actually really, really sweet.
The creativity and level design, the art, the uniqueness color. And difference of music, like, yeah, it was great. Even the little mini game is fun, though that lends itself more to being on a console and actually having a joystick.
Yeah, I feel like you need one of those joysticks too.
Yeah, it would have been easier, though I did pretty well on it, surprisingly. Not like great, but.
Okay, so others might disagree with me, which that's completely okay. If you found this game easy, hey, that's great. Good job. I'm proud of you. But for me, I found it, as I've already discussed, somewhat difficult. You know, there's tons of bullets to avoid. The bosses are all different and have all their, unique kind of setups and randomization when it comes to how they move and when they throw and that kind of thing. So I had to use a liberal use of save states. I know, Kenny, you regularly try not to, but did you end up having to use a lot?
Yeah, I eventually did. I always sort of start by not, which means I tend to know the sort of beginning levels a lot better than later levels.
Right.
But as I wanted to progress into the game further, though I was making some progress without just because you get better at it, I finally ended up using save states, yeah.
Nolan, what about you?
I'm not ashamed to admit that I did have to.
Sure. And so, but I would maybe suggest that if someone wants to go back and play it, which I would say go back and play it, like maybe find it on an emulator or something where you're able to do some saves. Because if you're just strictly, like if you just go to your local arcade, you're going to be spending a lot of quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's what I was thinking too.
It would be a blast. Like,
oh yeah, man, it would, especially
worth
with friends.
The quarters. Yeah, keep your car dirty. Don't take it to the car wash. Go to the arcade instead. Play this game.
And that also made me think. Like, okay, so this game is fairly short. It's 8 stages. So, to me, that it wasn't extremely long, but we had save states. So I'm thinking, like, I'm sure, and I think I felt this way back in the day when I would play it. That I was like, this game is like so long because you couldn't save state. You had to put in quarters and you died so much.
Oh yeah.
The game felt like so, like there was so much to it. And so I think it's interesting that we can play it through all the way now with that handicap on compared to what arcade games felt like when you physically had to play it. Like with quarters and at the actual
right.
machine.
The nice thing about arcades generally versus like a console version is that if you decide I'm just going to beat this game, you can always just have a bigger pocket full of quarters. As long
right.
as you're like making progress, like lives are just money really, you know.
But we're not as rich as you are, Kenny.
Yeah, it must be nice to be rich, Kenny. So, let me ask, are y'all saying that this is a great game for those that enjoy arcade games, or this is a great game even for those that maybe haven't played many arcade games but would still enjoy a good challenge?
I'm going to say both, though it's definitely enough of an arcade game that I'd say if you're that person, especially if you enjoy arcade game style games, then for sure check it out.
I'm going to say that this is for someone who is not familiar with arcade games and doesn't even necessarily want to play an arcade game, because it lends itself to being so playable even if you're not used to that kind of, like, style, that kind of control.
Absolutely.
And it's incredibly fun. So I would say it's the arcade game for those who don't really play arcade games.
If I'd had a second controller, I would have had my girlfriend play through with me for sure, because like
that would have been fun.
It was the kind of game that felt like anybody would enjoy.
The final shell shock.
Overall, we give it thumbs up. Solid game.
Yeah.
Well done. and kind of across the board, right? Like both
yeah.
gameplay and art and visuals and everything else. So it was a fun week. This was a viewer suggestion, wasn't it?
This was, yeah. It was a listener suggestion.
Sure, a listener. a viewer with their ears suggestion. So big thanks to that person. I don't know their name off the top of my head. Dustin may know it, for giving us that suggestion. And, we value other suggestions. You guys know what games are fun. So, send us some of those.
Yeah, that was Dylan that gave us that suggestion.
Thank you, Dylan.
Dylan. All right. Okay. So in this summary section, I do want to know a few things. One for you, which was the most difficult boss?
I'll go ahead. The final boss, because he has like kind of two, states, I guess. Like, you feel like you beat him and then he's like, no, and goes crazy. And so that was really challenging for me. They were all really hard, but I think he was like the biggest challenge.
I'm going to go ahead and just because I think I lost to him the most, even though he was probably actually the easiest, I'm going to say the first boss, just because I didn't know the game well and I didn't know the slide mechanic. And he kicked my face in a million times until I got a handle on it. And I was playing him challenge mode, you know, like one whole part of the game gimped. And so I really hated him. Plus those barrels, like every time I would be like, yeah, kill the barrel. And then it would fall in my head.
His ads spawn pretty quickly too. He has a lot of ads.
My most difficult by far, and I'm surprised that we haven't mentioned him any in this podcast, but for me, I mean, there's no competition. And I mean, very racist, but Chief Scalpum, the Indian, that jumps around and tosses out three or four daggers.
Yeah.
It just absolutely difficult for me. And some of those blades just unavoidable, depending on where I'm standing. It's
really good placement.
He was definitely one of those Mega Man bosses where it's like you're gonna get hit. You can't. There's no way you can dodge that.
I did feel like he was a little more predictable than some of the others, probably just because he didn't have ads.
What about when his sister comes out and is like, no, don't shoot my brother. Yeah. Oh, okay, man, we won't. Except you just shot him like 1,000 times.
It's so true. I don't know what they were doing there, like being politically correct, avoiding a lawsuit, trying not to accidentally be racist.
It was a little borderline.
Just being kind, I don't know. It was crazy.
I think it had to do with the story. She said, don't shoot him. He's just following orders. And that's kind of when you find out about that Rose guy, your final boss. So right. I think it's kind of adding to the story there. I like it. Which we didn't even mention, but there's a few dialogues, a few words. The bosses always speak something before you fight them and after you fight them. And it's this, and it's that really bad recorded, early game audio. That was really good. No, thanks. Spot on with impressions.
Thank you.
Nailed it.
But, I mean, it just adds to the appeal of the game. Nolan, you said your favorite stage was on the train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kenny, did you say what yours was?
No, just because I'd have a really hard time picking.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, so what was it?
I think my favorite aspect was the variety of stages. I'm bad at favorite questions. You guys know this. But I try for the sake of our viewers. Most of the time. I know. I'll say it forever now just to bug you.
You're done.
How about you, Dustin? I know you have
my favorite stage was the saloon battle.
Yeah, that was
great.
You just walk inside. There's something about that, man. And it's hard. You've got two brothers that you're having to defeat. One's throwing bombs at you. One's throwing some other firecrackers, I don't know, at you. And you're having to avoid that while there's a swinging chandelier in the middle.
That you can, grab and swing on and, stand on.
Yeah, that was
and
great.
The interactions there are awesome.
And then at the end of that stage, girls come out and dance on the stage and you go up there and clap for them. So I don't know. Just that whole appeal for that stage is intriguing to me.
I loved it. And it was a change of pace. You know, that was the one that was kind of the entire level is the boss fight. And it was great.
Brian.
Favorite part for me by far was, and not knowing this, but defeating that boss on the fifth or sixth stage with whichever it was.
And
then
he
tosses the hat, and I'm like, yes, I got a new sombrero.
Absolutely.
So that was so awesome for me.
When I forget which boss it was, I think maybe the second one, but the level was so difficult for me that, you know how sometimes you get so into a game that, you're physically relating to it and feeling it? Like, this was an arcade game and a fairly simple one, but I got to that point and I was like fist pumping and like, yeah, and felt proud and had a little adrenaline and like a sense of accomplishment and like all the things you want in a game. And, so yeah, this one just totally, totally delivered for me.
I think that's same for all of us. We enjoyed the game. We would suggest you going and playing the game. It is a great game and a great game still today, but it's not the only game. And so as we put this game to rest, we select a new game as we do each and every single week on this podcast. We have a retro master list of games. The only rule is they've got to be older than 15 years. And as long as they're older than 15 years, if you suggest them to us, we'll add them to our list.
And I say it almost every week, but I'll say it again. We call it a master list, but it's far from exhaustive. And so we need your suggestions. Fun games that you want us to experience, traumatic games that you want to hear us have to suffer through again, send those in. Hit us up on our social media.
Sure, and all of our social media stuff is /NGP podcast. Most of you know by now we've transitioned all of our hosting and our RSS feed over to our SoundCloud, so that's kind of our central hub for everything, which is just soundcloud.com/NGP podcast. On there, you can listen to every episode, you can download every episode, you can comment on any episode, and you can also find our social media information as well as our email address, and you can send us your suggestions. Also, you can send us your commentary. As we play through the game, we would love for you to play through the game with us and for sure. Send us your thoughts, good or bad, and we'd love to include that as a part of the discussion next week.
Absolutely.
So
is it
let's
that time?
Pick the game.
Do we get to pick a new game?
We don't get to pick it.
That's true. Does a new game get to bestow itself upon us?
I'm spinning the randomizer. Some of your lives are about to be made because the game that we are going to be playing for episode 13 is called Sonic the Hedgehog.
Nice. First okay. one?
Good classic.
I believe that's the one that's been submitted for our list. So yeah, it's awesome. The very first one. It's for Sega Genesis in 1991.
Awesome.
Oh, another 91 game.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a good era. Good decade for games.
So that is the game that we'll be playing. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, take a moment and rate and review us on whatever provider you're listening to us on, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud or something else entirely. For every time that you do, or for everyone that does that, it helps us tremendously. And we appreciate you guys, and this has been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. It's always a blast. Look forward to sharing another new old game with you guys next week.